Hi, I'm Jan Kepler, and this is Two Voices, One Journey.
And I'm Frank Kudla. This is the place to go to hear two extraordinarily ordinary people talk about things that interest them. So, Jan, we had one of our best weekends in quite a while. Yeah. Friday night was just absolutely spectacular.
That was fun.
A little bit of a background. I have a former work associate and a good friend who has a band. The band is Audio Avenues, plural, Audio Avenues. And there you can find them at audioavenuesband.com. Check out their website. But they play around Orange County, where we live, and a couple of different places. And Doug, who's my former coworker and friend, has been importuning me to come and see them play. And unfortunately, those of you who know me, I've had some health issues, particularly with my back, and getting out and about has been a problem. But this past Friday, I felt good enough that, darn it, we're going to go see him. And we did. And I made the mistake of saying, my gosh, you're much better than I thought you'd be.
Yeah, that was nice. What a compliment.
But they were great. But I just thought they'd be competent, but I didn't think they'd be fantastic.
Oh, no, they are really good. Let me just version to get that kind of sound with just two people.
Yes.
It was really good. I mean, they really had like full depth and everything in it. The place was packed.
Yes.
And even though it was kind of noisy in there and stuff, but just a lovely evening and, I met some new people now and
yes.
Made some new friends.
I mean, shout out to Terry. Shout out to Judy.
Yes. Oh, totally. Very nice.
And Albert.
People. Yeah. Yeah. So just very fun. And as Frank said, it's been a while since we've been out and exposed the world to us. And so we just had a great time.
Yeah. Great playlist. I mean, it just pretty much matched my musical sensibilities. Doug's just a couple of years older than me. But the playlist encompasses the 60s, 70s, 80s, even some stuff from the 90s and some current stuff.
They have a great range. Yeah, they're from the 50s to now.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great time. It was probably the best
weekend. And
they're
available to be booked for parties and events and
yes.
things like
yes.
that.
So that was Audio.
Highly recommend.
Avenuesband.com.
Yep. Yep.
Check them out. And if you're in Orange County and you have a wedding coming up or any kind of event.
They're a lot of fun.
These guys are a lot of fun. Yeah.
They are.
So last week was kind of a little bit of a bummer. We talked about a lot of negative things. Before going, not on the air, I don't know what we did. Before recording, we were just talking about a lot of negative things. And we said last week that we'd like to try to bring some good news. There are good things happening in the world.
Yes, there are. And it's not always a focus of, the media, TV news, whatever online news, it's usually the bad stuff. So.
Well, the good stuff is not clickbaits. I mean, the good stuff is
we're probably just, wired to be more receptive or responsive to bad news.
What's better than an airplane crash? It's just...
Well, not if you're on the plane. So.
Not if you're on the plane, no. Yeah. But unless you're the one guy in 11A...
Oh,
whatever
God.
Seat that
yeah,
was.
That's just, that's wild.
But, well, for a lot of people, good news is that, and it's not for us, but the beginning of the NFL season is at hand. Personally, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
But the betting sites are about to really take off, although they're betting on preseason games, which is really bizarre. I mean,
they're
playing
on
second. Yeah, they bet on
oh,
everything.
Please.
But anyway, so the football season, for those of you who are fans, that's good news for you.
Like you didn't know it was coming up. Okay. Here, let us tell you all about it. We know nothing.
Yeah. But there were some other things. I was just kind of trolling the web looking for good stories. And I've run into a couple of good stories that fall into a few categories. I won't get into specifics. Well, I'll get into a few specifics, but not many. One of the things is the communities are coming together to support local teachers and students. I Googled... I hate to use the word Google. Actually, I didn't use Google. I used AI to look for, I don't want to call them charities, but community organizations that are sponsored by corporations and some that are just pure charity, putting together back-to-school packages for kids.
Yeah. That is a pretty big thing. They do the backpacks for kids.
Yeah.
And all the school supplies.
They get the notebook, the pens, the pencils. There's one company, I don't want to, yeah, I don't want to say the wrong company because I don't know who it was giving them shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was giving them sneakers.
But I think another thing was that you were bringing up, too, is that what's really important is supporting the teachers. Because yes. I've had friends that have been, you know, in education, and you don't get paid anything, basically. You barely get a living wage. And then for whatever reason, the school supplies, things that you do in a classroom, that sort of thing, are usually lacking. And a lot of those teachers, they use their own money to buy supplies. And so I think there's more organizations actually now are helping teachers as well as helping the kids, which is great.
That shouldn't be necessary. And I don't understand why, and this is a topic for another podcast. I don't understand the amount of money we pay per student for schooling is like greater than any other country anywhere. Just tremendous amounts of money. I don't know where it goes. Is it going to administration? And I don't want to get off, but there's something going on here. This money is not finding its way to where it should be finding its way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's nice. Supporting the students. And the educators.
And the teachers, yes. Yeah. I mean, people are doing this out of the goodness of their own heart, and they're corporations that are doing it. They're not really getting much in return. I mean, I'm not buying a pair
of... No, they're just doing it because it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
That is really nice.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Other good news... the wildlife population. So one of the examples I'll pull there, the bald eagle population was 417 nesting pairs in 1963. I was 2 years old. There are 417 nesting pairs in the entire world. There are now 71,400 nesting pairs. And you can say what you want about eagles, but they're a hell of a lot better than the wild turkey or whatever it is that Ben Franklin wanted to have.
Oh, the vulture or something. Oh, no. He wanted a turkey.
I've seen wild turkeys.
Yeah.
they're not particularly impressive.
No, they're not too attractive. Well, the bald eagles that are so cute, those ones that are on that little eagle cam that's like Lake Tahoe or whatever.
Is it
Big Bear?
Big Bear.
Big Bear.
Yes,
okay.
Big Bear, California. Yes.
It's just so nice.
Yes, it is fun to watch them. And they're on like their third or fourth cycle of kids.
I know.
So I don't know where the kids are nesting, but they've got quite a family up there. That's good news. I mean, conservation, that's a good thing. I know we'll all go extinct at some point. I believe that every species will eventually become extinct. Some have lasted a little longer than they deserve.
Yeah, but, supposedly there's more that are extinct than exist.
Oh,
yeah, but I mean,
exponentially, more than are extinct.
The course of time.
Everything goes extinct.
And we've had a rise of wildlife on our patio, too.
We've had a skunk, we have a squirrel, and we've got hummingbirds.
Lots of hummingbirds.
So, yeah, we've had quite the wildlife out on the porch. Other things is there are a lot of volunteers in a lot of big cities that are restoring urban green spaces. And I read a story in Philadelphia, there's a group called Green Space. That's their name. And they have a goal of turning underused and blighted spaces into useful spaces and conserve the open green spaces, culture, and history. And they've been very successful. Actually, Philadelphia is trying to brand themselves as the Garden City. But that's just one example. It's going on in Detroit. It's going on in Chicago.
Yep.
There are people that really care about their communities.
Yeah, and they want to have a nice place for kids.
Yeah.
To actually to see nature, to be in nature.
Well, just to get out.
Some of them, they'll have like little plots where you can, you can plant vegetables and things like that. So it's fulfilling and educational.
But it won't make the news because who cares?
No, I know. Something else. Yeah. We'll
the last thing I have was I've just been impressed by medical breakthroughs. In this century, the lifespan, and I couldn't find a consensus on the number of years, but somebody diagnosed with cancer, and we have friends that have been diagnosed with cancer, live much longer. We're talking years. I mean, your brother's friend, who I won't mention his name, is like 2 years past his life expectancy.
Oh, no, they gave him 2 years to live 4 years ago.
Yeah.
No,
it's wonderful. Your other friend, who's...
Been going through that too. So
it's just been amazing. And in controlling AIDS, in dealing with the other thing is the MRIs. I forget, there's a type of MRI now that allows them not only to see the brain but to see what the brain is doing. And I forget the name of it, but it's just very impressive. There's just a lot of good things going on despite what RFK has done. And again, I'm a bummer, but
no, I know. But I mean, but there have been a lot of significant advances in medicine, and there's
it's
a lot
fast,
more.
Fast too. Yeah, and there's more coming.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, if you get diagnosed with cancer today, it's not a death sentence. I mean, we're all going to die.
Right. Right.
But it's not like you have 2 weeks.
No,
you know,
get
your shit in order.
It's amazing what they can do.
Yeah. Yes, that's been impressive. So moving on to other good news, we're just a couple of weeks away from the baseball playoffs, which is where we really pay attention to it. I don't pay attention to baseball early on. I love playoffs. We both love seventh games or games that are one and done. You know, you win, you go on.
Yep.
You lose, you go home.
Yeah, the playoffs are much more interesting. I'm sorry, there's just way too many games in baseball. And I feel the same way about basketball. And I really enjoy basketball, too.
Yes.
But I like, I like the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too. So just in baseball, the Phillies and Brewers look like they're going to win their divisions in the NL. I don't think there's much doubt about that. The Brewers are a big surprise. The Dodgers and Padres are going to battle it out. They're going to go down to the wire. The Padres were in first place for a short period last week. And the Dodgers, with their $300-some million payroll, fell to second.
That's huge.
Well, that's $300 million.
Yeah, but isn't a bunch of that deferred?
No, I think that doesn't include the deferred dollars.
It would be more if it wasn't for this.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yes, I think that's how they kept it to $300 million to pay their.
Well, I can understand
tax.
Now why tickets are so expensive to go to a ball game.
Yeah.
That's like crazy.
But anyway, so we got baseball. I guess we'll get into more serious stuff now and get off the lighter note. I want to say this, and this is probably going to come out wrong, and I'll get a bunch of pushback on it. But for those, including me, who spend most of their time bashing Trump, I would like to take a moment. I'd like them to take a moment to list the top five things they love about the Democratic Party. We'll go now. Yep, that about sums it up. I mean, the alternatives aren't much better than what we have in place. So I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. Again, I don't want to make this totally negative, but I just think we should take some time to look at what the alternatives are to what we have. And they're not that good. I mean, the future just, doesn't look that bright. There I am, being Debbie Downer again.
I know. After saying some positive stuff.
We said positive things, though. We got positive
We did have positive stuff. So then your next topic is going to be Ukraine. And I would just like to say, spoiler alert, that Putin is a conniving bastard. And I just think it's sad how much Trump wants to believe that Putin respects him and will do what he says he's going to do. And then it's like Charlie Brown and Lucy, she's like yanking the football out from underneath Charlie Brown. He says, just getting ready to kick the football into the Nobel Peace Prize. And, you know, then Putin's like, what meeting? I don't remember having a meeting. It's really getting to the point to being pathetic. I mean, Trump's just getting played. I don't see how he doesn't get that.
Well, I he doesn't seem to get it, but he wants adulation from any source.
No, I know he
from
does.
Any source. If somebody is a president of a company or a country, excuse me.
Yeah. No, I know. And I know he really wants the Nobel Peace Prize, and so he's really lobbying for that one. But I feel for Ukraine. I'm glad that the meeting that they had at the White House was so much more civilized, and I'm glad that he brought his buddies with him from European leaders to be there to kind of support him. And
And they have got a lot at stake.
Oh, they do.
They should be the ones,
because they're right there.
Yeah, I mean, they're next.
Yeah, right. And I think they really feel that way, that if it doesn't stop here, you know, or with Ukraine,
it's
just going to keep on rolling. Yeah.
And I think the tie into China, too, with Taiwan, I think if Russia gets away with this shit, I think China's going to be emboldened, too. We're just not going to stand up. I'll put it out there, and I know this will be very controversial. I don't have any objection to us getting involved in the war. And I know I've lived through Vietnam. I didn't live through Korea, but I understand it. I don't have any problem with us getting a little bit more involved, whether it's selling more arms and allowing them to fire them deeper into Russia, because it's very unfair. Russia is able to fire at Kiev, but we can't fire at Moscow.
Well, yeah, I know. It's our involvement. It's and then whatever the minister of evil or whatever.
Oh, yes, not minister of defense. Was it
I don't know what he is,
but
he's just
very,
like Boris Badenov, was saying that, you know, that Russia would have to be involved in any decisions about security guarantees. And it's just like, well, they're guaranteeing the security against you.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, no, you can't have a say in that. So it's so sad. And it's just gone on for such a long time. I do appreciate, though, the fact that J.D. Vance this morning on TV, we saw him and he said something about that Russia, you know, starting the war. At least now we're back on that footing again, as, you know, because it had gone over to Zelensky being a dictator and them starting it, which I don't agree with that at all. But something needs to be done. And
I think it has to be dramatic. I just don't think Russia can win. I really think, or should be able to win, be allowed to win. I think this is an inflection point. I think this is a stand for democracy. And I know Ukraine has had its problems with corruption. Everybody has problems with corruption. I mean, certainly the United States does too.
Yeah, everybody does.
But they're making an effort. Mm-hmm. And Russia's, well, I don't know if there's much more I want to say about that. There was one thing I saw that was interesting is because of the technology advances brought about by the war, Ukraine is going to sell the United States drones. That's a sad commentary on our technology.
They have extra?
I guess they've got extra. Well, I mean, if they can sell them, they can raise capital to buy more weapons.
Well, no kidding. But I mean, it's just like you think they'd be using them. I mean, Russia was getting their drones from Iran.
They're getting, right? Yes, they have the Iranian drones.
Yeah,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, war. Yeah.
Yeah.
War
is it's just what a. Yeah.
Speaking of war, so we've got a gerrymandering nuclear war.
It's bringing the war back to politics and home.
Yes. So just to fill people in, the term gerrymandering originates from a combination of the name Eldridge Gerry, who was a Massachusetts governor, and this was back in the 19th century, 1800s, and the word salamander. In 1812, Gerry signed a bill that redistricted Massachusetts to benefit his Democrat-Republican Party. The new districts were said to resemble a type of salamander, leading the playful name gerrymandering.
Oh, so the shape of salamander. Well, the shape of the
redistricting. Some of them do look like salamanders.
Well, the redistricting. Oh, I can say that easily. You know that thing in Texas with Austin.
Yes,
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Except that it's sad. But wrangling Austin into that same area that's very incredible.
I just think, and it's probably naive on my part, but I think we should do it by county. And I think if a county deserves more than one representative based on its population, which many do, I mean, certainly L.A. County would be an ideal example. So would Orange County because of the population. Put them in the order that they came in the election. So 1 through 5, if you get 5 representatives based on your population in your county, you'll get 5 representatives. And that's it. I mean, and the lines are already drawn. We have county lines that are very clear. Mm-hmm. And I think most counties are somewhat like-minded. I can tell LA County is certainly very liberal. I don't think there's any question about that. Certainly Orange County, where we live, leans more conservatively.
Yeah. I don't really understand this that well,
okay.
I, to tell you the truth. I mean, I understand.
I'm not sure. I think that's the whole idea, so for us not to understand.
Well, yeah, it's redrawing these lines or whatever, which seem very vague, and how can you keep redrawing them?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Well, I mean, I get the idea after a population survey, the census, where you'd want to change the number of representatives a particular area gets. But I think that particular area should be a county. And that's all I got to say about that.
About that. Okay.
Yeah,
don't go into the census now. That's going to change.
No. So other things just that I want to mention, and I'm not going to dwell on it, is Intel. Federalization of private industry. The federal government, the U.S. government, is going to take a 10% stake in Intel.
And we dumped their stock last year. We did buy Intel, and the reason we bought it was because they're the only company
domestic with a
foundry where they can actually make. I mean, it's like vertical production of chips, and even though they're, you know, like 10 generations older that nobody wants anymore, but they had the infrastructure to do it, and then they were just dismal, and so we dropped it, and now the government's got, what, a 10%?
Well, this is just feels to me like the Chinese model, where all the companies are co-owned or entirely owned by the government.
Right, right. Yeah, the government involvement and then telling people to, like, quit.
Yeah.
And the CEO of companies and telling private businesses what they should and shouldn't do. I don't think that's any of the government's business. Isn't the Republican Party supposed to be the party of less government?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just think there's a huge amount of government overreach. Recently.
Well, it's going on everywhere. I mean, we're invading cities with the National Guard.
But, yeah, that's another fun one.
And the other thing, I think we mentioned it last week, was the whole AMD and NVIDIA paying 15% on their sales.
So that
China.
They could sell their stuff to China.
That's insane. I think that is unconstitutional.
I think it is in the Constitution that you cannot do that.
Right.
It's in the Constitution.
It's like specific.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I love whipping out the Constitution when it serves a certain purpose and then just ignoring it or debating it or redefining it.
So anyway, that's all I want to say on that. It just is a little bit scary what's going on with the occupation of the cities, with the takeover of private companies and industries, and as a problem. One thing that happened in the last, I guess the last 10 days, and there's nothing to really comment on here, but I thought it was funny.
And yet we'll talk about it anyway.
Well, of course, because we talk about things of interest.
I know. I'm sure everyone else has already turned it off. I don't think anyone's listening anymore, Frank, so just
still
go
there.
For it, okay?
MSNBC has changed their name to MS Now. And the only reason I mentioned it is because I thought it was funny, because it really sounds like a failed Microsoft operating system from the early 90s.
Yeah, it does.
MS Now.
Like, does it have an exclamation point
I think I put the exclamation point on our talking points. I don't think it actually
Yeah, and what's the point of that?
Who knows?
Okay, yeah, well.
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to go more centrist.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Frank, what are you listening to?
Actually, kind of an obscure thing, although very good. I was listening to it again this afternoon, but I've been listening to Bernie Taupin's 1980 album, He Who Rides the Tiger. First of all, I got interested in this album because I like the line, "He who rides the tiger never dismounts." When you're on a beast, don't get off.
Well, it'll eat you, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if the name Bernie Taupin sounds familiar, it's because he's Elton John's partner in music and lyricist. He's been writing lyrics for him since 1966 or something like that.
Yeah, and explain the work relationship, how that works. I find that fascinating.
It is kind of weird. They write separately. Bernie writes a lyric and then sends it to Elton John, and Elton John puts it to music. Not knowing the context that Bernie wrote it in, Bernie didn't have any particular musical style, or he just put together a poem.
Right, yeah, a poem. And then Elton John sends it to
He sends it to a tune.
And independent of each other. I think that's great.
It's a telephone relationship. I think Bernie lives out here somewhere up in Topanga Canyon or something like that.
I think like on a little ranch thing.
Yeah, he's a big cowboy. The whole brown dirt cowboy reference.
That was great.
So is that. Yep. But this album, it's one of the albums that made me want to move to California. Probably not for the right reasons, but a lot of California references on this. One of my favorite songs is Monkey on My Back. And it's about drug running in California in the early 80s, running cocaine. And
that made you
want
to move here?
It's just...
Okay, never mind.
I don't know. Something about when he talked about sand on the beach turning red and things like that. It's just like, oh, beach. I mean, I'm living in Pennsylvania.
The red was probably blood, you know, from somebody...
Well, it was. Well,
okay.
But, I was 18 years old.
You were young.
Yeah, there's just a lot of songs that have made me want to move to California. And now that I'm here, I want to get the hell out.
But, yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that's about what I got. Hopefully we're a little bit more upbeat this week than last week.
Or at least a portion of it was.
A few moments.
Yeah.
We had our moments. So we'll see you again, or not we won't see you, but we'll hear you again next week. And again, I'm going to remind you to check out AudioAvenuesBand.com and check out Doug's band. And if you're in Orange County or even LA County and you need a band, I highly, highly recommend these guys.
Yep, they're great.
Yep. All right. Goodbye until next week.
All right. See ya.